is U.S. versus Williams. Mr. Alvarino?
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, my name is Rob Alvarado. I'm an assistant federal defender for the Central District of Illinois. Your Honor, when we talk about minor traffic stops and the searches that ensue, there are usually two principles of law that that come to the front. One is the notion that police officers shouldn't have to have their decisions second-guessed in a hyper-technical way, that they're entitled to some sort of common-sense analysis. The other issue that usually comes up in these cases is whether the decisions taken by the officer were objectively reasonable. And so, in this case, whether Officer Darlington had reasonable suspicion to detain Mr. Williams for the extra length of time after the traffic stop was over is the main issue. I submit that in this case, neither one of those issues was really considered closely or given any sort of analysis other than lip service. For instance, if you look at what happened when Officer Darlington testified at the hearing, he said that he was in fear of his safety. As soon as he walked back from the car after briefly talking with the driver and the passengers, he said that he noticed that the defendant, who was sitting in the back seat, had turned and looked at him several times when the emergency lights went on. And then when he came up to the driver's side of the car, the defendant wouldn't make eye contact with him. He looked out of the corner of his eye. And Judge Mim was very careful when he questioned Darlington about that. I mean, Judge Mim actually watched the videotape, stopped it, and questioned the officer during the hearing. And Darlington said that he was in fear of his safety for those particular reasons, those two observations. Now, Judge Mim, in his order, rejected those notions as amounting to reasonable suspicion. But I think what Darlington did afterwards makes it even more clear that he couldn't have been in fear for his safety. If he was, it certainly wasn't an objectively reasonable basis to be concerned for his safety. Why? Because after he talked with the driver and found out that he got the driver's license information and then found out that the passengers didn't have any ID, as soon as he went back to the squad car, he called not only for a backup, but for a canine officer. Now, if he believed that he was in fear for his safety and was wanting to do a Terry-type search, pat-down, what would he need to call a canine officer for? Well, Judge Mim asked that question, and the officer said, well, I really don't know. I thought he might have been trying to hide something. Didn't say what. But that's what that was his response to Judge Mim. Now, when the backup officer arrived, he would think that he would have immediately warned that officer, hey, this guy's, he's a little bit strange, he's making some bad moves, I'm worried about him. Officer Darlington didn't do that. The only thing he did was warn the officer that the audio and video equipment were running. Apparently, so the officer wouldn't say anything stupid or do anything that would later come back to haunt him. But he did not say anything about his concerns for the backseat passenger other than to say, I'm going to grab them out real quick and check for ID.
Now, you're not arguing, are you, that Officer Darlington has to have reasonable suspicion before he calls for backup?
No, not at all. But what I am saying is that when we're going to test these things and determine whether his suspicions are objectively reasonable, the fact that he called for a backup on the basis of the very brief observations that he made and which Judge Mim said did not amount to reasonable suspicion, I think that's something for the court to consider. Now,
Why would he call for backup?
That's a good question. Judge Mim asked Officer Darlington why he called for the canine officer. And Darlington said he called for backup because he was suspicious of the defendant and he thought that he might pose a fear for his safety. But if he was a fear for his safety, why would he be a fear for the backup officer's safety. Why wouldn't he warn that officer? Judge Mim asked that question too, and he said, well, he would have automatically known that when I was taking the backseat passenger out, that I was concerned about my safety with him. That's essentially what Darlington said.
Isn't it just sort of common sense that any time an officer calls for backup, it's because the officer has some sort of fear or needs some help?
I'm not quite sure I understand why you think they should be having these conversations like, you know, they just become officers that day.
Well, because it was such a vague and unfocused concern. Officer Darlington had a hunch that something was wrong with the defendant in the back seat, but he couldn't articulate that. And what the law requires is some articulable, reasonable suspicion.
But he did articulate. He said that he moved his shoulder in such a way that it looked as if he were trying to hide something. Those aren't the exact words.
No, that's pretty much what he had said. But he said that after Judge Mim had already asked him, what made you in fear for your safety? Questioned him very closely. He didn't say that then. He only said that later in the hearing, I believe when the government was questioning Officer Darlington. And on that point, Judge Mim did not acknowledge that he noticed this movement that you were talking about, the furtive movement, either down or forward or lifting himself up. In his order, he acknowledged that that's what Darlington said, and he concluded that he believed that. But at the time when he was questioning Darlington, with the tape running, starting and stopping the tape, that didn't come up, Your Honor. It just didn't come up. Now, moving on.
I thought after reading all of this that Judge Mim did determine that the furtive gesture could have been consistent with Williams either hiding or retrieving something?
That's what Judge Mim said in his written order.
Right.
He didn't articulate that when Darlington pointed to the portion of the tape where he said, see, Your Honor, this is where he's moving down.
Maybe Judge Mim watched the tape a second time.
He may have, although his order doesn't reflect that. He watched it the evening before. In fact, we had stipulated to a foundation for the tape earlier so that Judge Mim could see it before the hearing even started.
So you're saying that the court, because that was my question along these lines, too. The court had the videotape, saw, had an opportunity to observe this, so you're saying that when a district court is in this position, the court should spell out what they see on the tape, and you can't just, even though his bottom line in the order was, you know, pretty conclusive.
Well, I'm saying the fact that he did not spell it out at the hearing, and he didn't state in his written order precisely what he felt that Williams was doing or what the officer reasonably could have concluded the defendant was doing, I think that's important for the court to consider. Now,
as it would have been all speculation. I mean, it's a furtive movement, and, you know, the judge ought not to be speculating, yes, I believe he was removing a gun or taking out a cell phone or...
Well, that's true. I'm not saying that Judge Mim or the district court should have speculated. What I'm saying is the court should have acknowledged and determined what the officer's reasonable observations were and whether they were objectively reasonable. And I'm saying that the record is not clear that that's exactly what had happened. Now, if Darlington was in fear for his safety and he had his backup officer there, you would think that the first thing he would have done would be to take Williams out of the back seat and pat him down, or to tell him, I'm in fear for my safety, I think you've got something that might hurt me, and I'm going to search you. He didn't do that. What he did was he harangued Williams for several minutes, trying to find out who he was, got a name, a date of birth, then he went to the driver to see if the driver would corroborate that. The driver didn't. Then he went back to Williams.
The driver did not.
He did not corroborate.
Right.
And then he went back to Williams, and that's when he placed him in handcuffs.
But to me, it was reasonable for him to question, you know, his identity. I mean, if he had not done that, then we'd have a situation where, I mean, I just think that was prudent on his behalf, even if there was some fear. I mean, given the assault that the police officers come under every day and all the how we examine their actions when they're there on the street, you know, I view that as being thorough. If he tried to get that information nailed down, maybe his hunch was wrong. And if he had gotten that corroborated, maybe he would have been satisfied and not pulled him out the back.
Well, I think the fact that he asked for his name and he checked out his name, that's something that any officer would do, any reasonable officer would.
Well, you were calling it haranguing him, and I think that was, I mean, that's the reason I raised that. I mean, I thought that was good police work. I mean, normally we're criticizing them because they react so quickly and don't take reasonable steps.
But I would just point out that because he didn't do it, he didn't check and make sure his safety was ensured first, tends to cut against the notion that that's what he really wanted to do. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Murphy.
Your Honor, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Brad Murphy from Peoria, Illinois, and may it please this court and counsel. The district court's finding of reasonable suspicion should be affirmed by this court. It was based on circumstances, four primarily, that we have enumerated in our brief. The first two the judge did not credit individually or together, and we accept that. That's just looking over the shoulder and the avoiding the eye contact. We accept that. However, if you read the judge's order, when we got to number three, the judge pulled the trigger here and found that the officer's suspicions at this point were reasonable. And that dealt with these furtive movements after the officer returned to his squad car. Those were described, by the way, as repeated side-to-side motions that the defendant was making, bending forward, sitting back up. The officer drew the conclusion that he appeared to be hiding something with his right hand. That was his sworn testimony. And I know Mr. Alvarado is not intentionally misstating anything here, but if you read the transcript of the hearing at pages 33 and 34, you will see that the judge does at the bottom of 33 acknowledge that I didn't see that. Back it up, please. We did replay it right there immediately in the courtroom during the course of the hearing, and perhaps Mr. Alvarado is simply not remembering this. And then the officer standing right there by the television set points out to the judge, and it's very obvious to those of us who were there that the judge was looking at the wrong head, that the defendant was on the right-hand side in the passenger, in the back seat. And then we go through the additional questions and answers on page 34. The judge says, fine, okay, thank you, and then we proceed. I submit that the judge did indeed see what he found in his order with regard to these furtive gestures, because he doesn't say that the officer said this. He said, the tape shows in his order. And lastly, the judge finds that the additional circumstance of the defendant giving the officer a false name and concealing his own identification documents simply added to the reasonableness of the officer's decision to make a pat-down search. We'd ask you to affirm the district court.
Thank you.
I'll waive the balance of my time.
I'll give you another minute, Mr. Albright.
Regarding that point in the transcript, Your Honor, when Officer Darlington is pointing out the defendant's movements, at no time does Judge Mim say, yes, I see that. Oh, yeah, now I know what you mean, Officer Darlington. He never does.
Well, on the flip side, he doesn't say, but I still don't see it. I mean, you know, the whole reason he got shown it was because he didn't see it. So if he still didn't see it, you would think the judge would say, that I don't see anything there. What are you talking about? But he doesn't mean, so it could swing either.
I guess you could say either way on that point. But then the very next question the judge then asks, he says, he turns the subject to another point in time. And he says, I didn't see him make any movements the last time I watched this. And that was after he was out of the car, and he was actually visible, clearly visible, to anyone watching the tape. In fact, I would respectfully suggest that if the court hasn't viewed the tape, that the court take the 11 minutes or so and look at the tape for yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. We move to the last case for today, United States versus